Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How are we doing today? That man, Dean, boy. It's so great to see you all. How are we doing this morning? I heard one person. It's a fantastic morning in Jesus. Listen, we woke up with breath in our lungs, so we have a reason to praise. Come on. If you have a reason to praise, just give God a clap. I would like to invite you guys up to the altar. We have a bunch of rug that needs some feet. So if you want to just come on up, we got some space. It might get a little bit hot, but it might be the anointing too. So praise God. But turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Y'all got to say better. Say, neighbor. You trying to praise today? Now turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor. I want to praise this morning. And if you're ready to praise, come on, let's do it. I want to hear you guys sing that. Come on.
There is power in the name of Jesus. Power in your name.
Come on and sing that out. There is power
in the name of Jesus.
So much power in
power
your name.
In your name.
Yeah.
There is power
Hallelujah.
In the name of
Lord, there's
Jesus.
There's so much power in your name.
Power
Jesus. So stare your problems in the face and say everything has to change, because it has to change, and it can only change by the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you believe that, come on and just lift your hands. Come on and just give God praise. Just give God worship. Hallelujah.
By your strength. Peace in your love won't let me. And I know that
Love the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you that it's the name that's above every single name, that no matter what problem somebody is facing today, in the name of Jesus, it must come into subjection. Thank you for the authority in your name. Thank you for the power in your name. Thank you for the access in your name. Lord, you said if we ask anything according to your name, it shall be done. God, your church is not weak. It is strong because of your name, because of the one who stands behind the name. That is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So today, Jesus, we stand here with full confidence, knowing we're not in survival, but God, we are doing great and mighty things for your kingdom, and we will see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your body. Thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. So in the name of Jesus, we speak to any sickness that's in the room in Jesus' name. You have to submit to the name of Christ. We command any sickness and any disease. Your name is listed. Now you must subject yourself. So in the name of Jesus, whose name is higher than all of the names, we bind every sickness. We bind every disease. We right now loose the power of God in Jesus' name. I command regeneration right now in Christ's name. Of body parts, I command right now even metal parts to disappear. I command right now, God, diseases to shrivel up and die. God, what has been wounded to be restored. Lord, we declare your power in this place. Because in the name of Jesus, we can do all things. So we thank you that, Lord, we are not here surviving. We're not here weak. We are here powerful. For you have given us authority on the earth, above the earth, and below the earth. Thank you that every demon is subject to us in Jesus' name. All authority has been given to us. We stand in the power of your might. After we've done all we can do to stand, we will stand therefore in victory in Jesus' name. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome five or six folks and say, in the name of Jesus, I have victory. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Don't just sit in your seat. Make sure you'll find somebody. Say, in the name of Jesus, I have victory. Come on now, you still have a minute and 15 seconds. If you want to have a friend, you got to be friendly. Get out of your chair. Go shake hands with somebody and say, good morning. Thank God that you're in the house of the Lord. Come on, turn to the person behind you and say, good morning. Thank God you're in the house of the Lord.
Julian, he's my helper this morning. We want to welcome you all this morning. We're so excited that you're here with us. We want to congratulate you if you're a guest in the house. We're excited to have you. If you don't mind just raising your hand, we have a gift for you if you haven't yet already received one. So go ahead and wave it high. If you're new to the house and this is your first time, we want to bring you a gift. Amen. We want to welcome our online viewers, our family online. Thank you so much for tuning in. We have some announcements for you. You gonna help me? He's in a daze. We have some awesome, fun, exciting things coming up. This is the last Sunday of the decade. Can you believe it? It's crazy. And here we are in God's house. That's so exciting. Are you serious? Anyway, we have our New Year's Eve service coming up Tuesday night. If you've never been in church on New Year's Eve, I'm telling you, it's better than the bar. Yeah. I'm only speaking from experience, and it's fun. You can wake up, recharge, ready to take on 2020. So I want to encourage you to be here Tuesday night, 6:30 p.m. Child care is provided. It's $5 at the door, but I'm telling you, you don't want to miss it. It's not just, oh, cute little church service, and then you go off. You are empowered. The Spirit of God is here. It's going to set you up for success for 2020. And then you might have already seen some of the papers in your chairs for prayer and fasting. We have that starting next week. And if you've never fasted before, I want to encourage you to do it. It's absolutely powerful. It will change your life. It's not just some cute religious thing that we do. It actually will change your life. It'll set you free from things that maybe have had a grip on your life forever. So I want to challenge you, if you've never done it, if you're sick of dealing with the same things day in and day out, fast. Join us this year. It's absolutely powerful, because I'm not saying it for any other reason than the fact that I know and believe in my heart that 2020 is going to be the best year yet. And God has it for you. It's not about a pastor being blessed more. It's for everyone. God has great things for you. Amen? Juju, back up. We have some video announcements for you.
Family, are you looking to grow closer in your relationship with God and learn more about what you believe as a Christian? Or are you new here and looking to get more connected but not sure how? That's why we designed the classes Next Steps and Growth Track. These classes were specifically designed to help you grow, learn, and become more connected with what we do here as a family at His Tabernacle. For more information, check us out online or visit us at the information desk out front.
Hey, His Tabernacle family, I want to invite you to our Freedom Weekend event. This event is perfect if you're a new believer. The dates are January 10th and 11th, and there's just a $10 admission fee to cover your lunch. We really want to see what God's going to do in your life. For more information, visit our website or go to the information center out front.
One of my favorite times of our church is coming up, and that is our time of corporate fasting and prayer. This is when we're going to get together as a corporate body and begin to seek the face of the Lord as we believe for supernatural breakthrough for the upcoming year. Vic Shure, I'm also excited to let you know that we have expanding our time of fasting and prayer from January 2nd to January 16th. We're going to have 2 weeks of going on a Daniel fast. We're going to give you guys all the information for you to be successful in that. We will still maintain our services on January 5th through January 8th. Be on the lookout on social media and the website for more information. But begin to prepare your heart, begin to prepare your mind, and we believe that 2020 will be the greatest year yet, and it will kick off with fasting and prayer.
Hi, HT family. My name is Minister McKenzie, and I am here to invite you to our New Year's Eve celebration. So on December 31st at 6:30 p.m., Ithaca and Mansfield campus are going to come here to the Horseheads campus and celebrate our new year. We're going to celebrate everything that was accomplished over 2019, and we're going to find out what our theme is for 2020. So I will see you here. Child care is $5 at the door. Come get anointed, get fired up with the Word of God, and let's set goals for 2020 to accomplish. As the entire body of Christ.
Hi, I am Brilliant.
Well, Bambi said he can have the rest of the service because he's cute, okay? Deal? We good? No? All right, I don't blame you. So, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, guys, we're going to talk about money, and people think money's awkward, but it's not. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, I love this portion of scripture. It says this: "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do, or you may observe to do all, according to all that is written in it. For then, and I love this because the scripture is really simple and easy, saying, look, if we can observe, meditate, and obey the scripture, for then, and this is the promise attached to it. No, you can't say it. I'm saying it, all right? Okay, you say it. Oh, for then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. I believe as a church, our job, what we're here for, is to make you successful. Our success as a body is making all of us successful individually. And when we can do all that is according to the scripture, and that's how people feel about money. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to give. I'm going to fall right off the edge. It's not true. I got you. When we can do according to all that's in the scripture, then we'll be prosperous. Then we will have success. And I was reading this week in Luke chapter 21, and we find the story of the poor woman who gave two mites. And Jesus was in church, and he was watching people as they were giving their offering. And he's watching as people were coming up, and they were giving in great excess. And this woman comes up with her two mites, and she gives, and he stops the whole thing and says, guys, look, stop. These guys all gave out of their excess, and he didn't say it was bad that they gave. But he said, but this woman, out of her livelihood, has given everything. And it's such a powerful thing to think about, because you start looking through and thinking about the scriptures, and you think about how it's really easy to say that, well, I've given more than some people if we have excess. And it's really easy on the flip side when we say, oh, I wouldn't have enough to give that would impress or even make a difference. See, it's not about either of those two statements. It's not about, do I have enough to give more than others? And it's not about, do I have enough to impress God? Because the reality is, it's about giving what God has asked us to give. And we can make our way successful when we obey the scriptures. It's as simple as that. And when we obey, when we listen to what God has promised and asked us to do, it's not so that he can damn us. It's not so he can make us worse. It's to show him that we trust him. And when God knows that we can be trusted with little, I promise you, you'll be trusted with more. And I just think this is such a powerful scripture. And we even look at it. It's pretty cool when you start to look at what poor woman meant in the scripture at this time. This word poor woman didn't actually mean she was poor. It was someone who worked hard for what they had. She worked hard for what she had, and she honored God with that. And man, I just believe as a body, if we can honor God with what we work hard for, he's going to continue to honor us. He's going to continue to push us forward. And look, it was funny this week. WETM was here last week. I think it was them. WEMY, and they posted an article about our Christmas production, which was amazing, right? I was trying to get you more props. They didn't catch what I was throwing for them. And it was really cool, but some people were on there like, oh, that place is a circus, and they require 10%, and they demand things. Look, we don't demand anything. We don't even have a membership we could revoke. This is a free will thing to say, God, I love you. Here's my 10% to honor you and what you've asked me to do. And I know that you'll make my way prosperous when I continue to honor you. Amen? So in this house, what we do is we bring our offering to the front as a gift to God. We want to present it as a gift to God. And on your seat is an envelope. You can fill that envelope out. You can go to histabernacle.com/give to do it online. Or you can text to give. Those all options are or will be at some point on the screens. But we can go ahead and stand to our feet today as we prepared our offerings, as we prepare our offerings, as we give God this 10% so we can make our way prosperous. And today, Presley's going to help me because Elijah's hiding. So I captured Elijah last service and needed the supernatural blessing. So Presley's going to do it today. Will you put your hands together for Presley? He said, I knew. He said, I prayed, I knew.
All right, so the Bible declares in book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, that if I obey, then I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings will chase me down. They shall trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Amen. You guys can come and give your offerings to the Lord at the front. If you're watching online, you can click right on the give button or go to histabernacle.com/give. We love you, and our success is to make you successful.
We love to call your name. It's something we cannot explain.
Praise the Lord. What a great day. I don't know about you. I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord. And we've all heard the state of the state address by the president and by our governor. And I believe that we need to have a state of the kingdom right here in his tabernacle. And I love this service because every year we do this. Every year we share all the great things God did, as much as we can even remember, in 2019. His Tabernacle Family Church has been doing a phenomenal outreach. In fact, last year, in 2018, we gave over $300,000 of our church's budget to help other people, whether they be local or foreign, to sow into other folks. And I don't know about you, that's not a little bit, that's a lot. That's almost 30 or a little about 30% of the church's income we've been able to bless other people with. So, you know, it's funny to me how people say, all they want is your money. Well, yeah, I mean, we want you to tithe, amen? Because that enables us to help more people. And I don't know about you, I love helping people. Don't you love helping people? Can you turn to the person next to you and say, thank God. Come on, thank God. You are so faithful. That's right. Let me share some things in the year of 2019, what has been accomplished. I'm not sure, do we have a video or don't have a video? Okay, here we go. Salvations, this is what is the drive of this house. We do three things here. By shout, we do three things. We love God, save souls, and develop leaders. That's all we do at His Tabernacle Family Church. Last year, on the main campus right here, 495 people gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ in all the outreaches we did, walking down to the front of the altar, 495 people. The Mansfield campus, 16 people were reconciled. The Ithaca campus, 130 were reconciled. And in Canada, many people don't know, we have His Tabernacle, His Tabernacle Ithaca, His Tabernacle Mansfield, His Tabernacle Horseheads, and His Tabernacle New Brunswick, Canada, St. John. And so in St. John, they had 232 people give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So in 2019, between all the four campuses, 873 people have given their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on now, don't let the angels outshout you. Thank you, Jesus. Now you know and I know that means families have been changed. That means generations have been changed. That people have been transformed inside and out. Now, last year, we gave 750 Bibles away. We've had over 100 baptisms on the main campus, 23 in Ithaca, 3 in Canada. The weekly averages, we minister in a weekly basis, whether it be through live stream, people coming in during the weekday, or people coming in on Sunday, this house ministers to 1,300 people every single week. That is a lot of folks for being in a cornfield. Can I hear an amen? Also, with His Word TV, we minister every single week to 16,300 people every single week from His Tabernacle Family Church. Come on, that's something to give God praise for. I want to remind you, we started with five people in 1998. Five. And now every week over 16,000 people are getting the word of God through this place. Turn to someone and say, thank God. Tell somebody else, thank God. You are so faithful. Amen. We are on ABC and CBS. Actually, many of you have never seen the intro to the new TV program or to our TV program. We just cut a new intro. Do they have that also? Do we have the new intro? Every week on ABC and CBS. And then we're on another time on ABC after 1 a.m. in the morning for those who sleep little. It is so normal every single week during, whether we go to a restaurant or go to the mall, somebody stopping and saying, I watch you every single week. And some of you have actually come because of the television program. And I want to thank God for all of those who sowed for all these years and watched this program grow. And as I shared earlier this year, we have been offered, and we have not taken it, but we have been offered a national TV spot that would put us in over 40 million homes every single week. And we have said no because we'd rather put the money here than even internationally wide. There are enough preachers on TV. I don't mind being a preacher on TV, but I want to touch our region for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Praise the Lord. This is what we're doing right here. Every single week, 210 people are watching on live stream every single Sunday morning. His kids on the other side of this wall, on average, 140 children every Sunday morning are being ministered to on the other side of this wall. And we don't do babysitting, baby. We're teaching you kids, your children, how to pray, how to read the word, how to know God, how to lay hands on the sick. Amen. We're getting them baptized in the Holy Ghost. It's awesome. The Mansfield campus has only 7 months old at the end of this month, has 15 kids in their kids ministry already, and in Ithaca, 34. Our Harvest Fest this year, which we did, had 2,000 people come through the doors this year. I don't know about you, that's a lot of people come from the community walking in the doors of the house of God, 2,000. And the Ithaca campus had 250. Our Easter egg, how many of you know we did an Easter egg drop this year? Amen. There were 1,500 people from the community, and we always preach the gospel before an egg is dropped. Can I hear an amen? In Ithaca, 150 people went out to that Easter egg hunt as well. The Vacation Bible School, Pastor Aaron hit a grand slam this year, our first ever VBS. I've never had one. I had a very bad experience. I'll share this with you. It's a moving moment. I had a very bad experience in Bible school with Sister Hochhausen, and she was my professor for VBS, and she was just so mean. I said that day, I will never have a VBS in any church that I pastor. So this is, come on now, this is 21 years here, 5 years in Newfield. So for 26 years of pastoring, I had never had a VBS in a church until last year. And Pastor Aaron crushed it. That was just phenomenal. 90 kids came out for the very first one. I'm believing God for 300 children in 2020. The Ithaca campus had 25. That's awesome, too. Youth, our youth ministry, Uproar Youth. On a weekly basis, there are 90 teenagers in this room every single Thursday with their hands lifted high, worshiping God, being trained how to be leaders in the kingdom of God. We have a new youth group in Ithaca that's about 7 months old. 15 are already there. And my cousin Zach and Heather, stand up and wave at everybody. They're the youth pastors down in Mansfield. They have 15 already, too. The Uproar Youth Conference this year had over 1,000 teenagers that came from all over the nation to be part of the move of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I love it. Our awakened young adults, that's young adults that are ranging from 19 years old to 30 years old, meet here every month. 93 is the average during the year 2019. And Pastor Obina Ebo and his beautiful bride are now the pastors over that. And we're just believing God there'll be 160. Can I hear an amen? 160 college age and young married couples that will be in this house once a month worshiping our God together. It's exciting to realize we have a Bible college. Some of you don't even know we have a Bible college. We have a Bible college that goes all the way up through your bachelor's degree in ministry. And this year, we've had the highest attendance at 43 Bible school students. Outreaches. We do a ton of outreaches at His Tabernacle, but every single week, many people don't know this, Matthew 25 on Wednesday nights, we spend $600 a week. I didn't know if you know that either. We spend $600 a week on buses to bus the kids in from Elmira to be able to eat. Come on now, we sit them down, do family style. And then what we do is we share the gospel with them. And then what we do, if they need clothes, we get them clothes, we get them shoes, and we bless them around the Christmas season. And this year, every single Wednesday, they're bussing in over 80 kids that are coming in on that side of the ministry house every single Wednesday. It's exciting to realize the challenges that come down their pathway, as many of them live in homes where there are no believers, but we're able to bring them here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that. Now, the Bible says that you'll always have the poor and that you feed the poor. Amen? This year, right here on Wednesdays and Thursday nights, we have served over 7,180 plates of food to children and to teenagers so they could have food in their bellies. Also, we do a campus program. That means we go to them during the summertime. We actually go to the parks and we feed them. I believe it's from 11 to 1 all summer long, Mondays and Tuesdays. This year, we served over 2,800 plates of food to the community. Ithaca has a city feed to the homeless outreach, and they fed 540 plates of food to people that live in Ithaca and they live on the streets. It's powerful to realize all the things that God is doing. This year, we're able to give over 100 Christmas presents to children that were in need, that probably were not going to have a Christmas. You and I and the Harley Davidson crew were able to make sure that over 100 children had a Christmas this year. That's exciting. We also do a ton of outreaches, and a lot of people don't know this either. We're always in the community, His Tabernacle, sharing the gospel with people. We were in the Memorial Day Parade in Elmira and in Horseheads. We were in Juneteenth in Elmira, Trunk or Treat in Mansfield, Pennsylvania, Sparkle in Corning, the Corning Parade of Lights, which was very cold this year. We were there too. The Elmira Holiday Parade, that was very, very cold. And then the Ithaca Festival and the Mansfield Destroyers baseball games. This is where we are all the time. We're always in our community. I believe, without any shadow of a doubt, the church should not be sitting in their seats, but we should be sharing the love of Jesus outside the doors. Amen? How many of you know we have groups? That is, you don't have to live life alone. You can join a group. Right now, there are over 43 groups. And somebody came to me in the driveway this morning and said, I would love to start a crocheting group. And I said, I'm in. Make sure you contact me. We'll get a crocheting group together. We had a crocheting group years ago, and one lady gave her heart to Jesus Christ, and she is still serving God. It's worth the crocheting group. Can I hear an amen? Isn't it great? We've had over 880 people out of the 1,300 in our groups. That is a massive number. The average of people that are usually part of a group in a local church is, Pastor Cody, you weren't even listening to a word I said. The average attendance in groups in a local church is how many percentage? Under 30%. This house had over 55% of the church in groups on an average basis. Amen. The Empower Summit. Many of you don't know, we actually host a pastor's conference every year to build up pastors and strengthen them so they go back to their hometown. We were able to have Pastor Jim Raley this last year. He is a giant in the faith, traveling the world, preaching the gospel. You don't want to miss it this year. He's coming back. He said, can I come back? Do you know what's really cool? He said, most of the churches he goes to all over the world, there are very few that allow him to move in the Holy Spirit. He said, I loved coming to His Tabernacle because you could let me move in the Spirit of God in any way you wanted, any way that I felt the Holy Spirit wanted to go. And I'm excited to know we have the freedom of God in this house. This last year, 120 pastors came out and got encouraged and built up and strengthened so they could go back home and minister to their church. We also have a strong ministry to the elderly in this house. Minister Carl, I think he's in first service. Every single month, six literally, he preaches 6 different times in different homes, 5 Bible studies, 1 Bible reading, visitation to 6 different locations in this entire region, and was just asked by another, I believe down in Elmira, another home, if he would be willing to become the chaplain of that that home because they need a pastor to share the gospel with people. Isn't that exciting? If you love ministering to the elderly, this is a phenomenal ministry to you. Also, we have a bus ministry every Sunday morning that picks people up. And it says 15. I know there's more than 15. Our buses now just did not pass the new brand new state inspections. Our governor has put new and imposed new laws on the churches. And this new law on the churches that our buses have to be exactly the same as a school bus, can't even be a spot of rust. Ours failed. And so we actually just started hiring Totem Taxi to go and to pick up parents with children. We can run a school bus, our buses, but we can't have anybody under the age of 21. So we pick up people over the age of 21 in our church bus on Sunday morning, and then we are paying Totem Taxi to go pick up families that want to come to the house of God so that they can be here, and the church picks up the tab. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we're ministering to people in that area too. Women's ministry. That every single week, let me see, the women's encounter this week, weekend this year was 50 people. The number of women attending our first women's conference was 412. The men's ministry, man, I don't know if you realize it or not, but every Wednesday night, there is a ministry here just for you. And on average, 20 men are coming out. And the men's retreat had 20. You have 20, right? 20 on Wednesday nights. Pastor Banfield, stand up. He's the pastor over the men's ministry. Our next step classes, and that is Rock Solid Faith and all the other classes that we have. This year, 350 people attended our next step classes, which is very exciting. And on average, we have over 70. That does not count online. Our online attendance is almost as much as in-house attendance every single Tuesday night. So it's over 70 people on average are weekly at Rock Solid Faith. Our growth track, Terry and Kayla Keegan, if you'll stand up in the back and wave at everybody. Our growth track, the average this year is 98 people have gone through that class. Isn't that phenomenal? 55 in Ithaca and 25 in Mansfield. We also take care of this building. How many of you know you got to be a good steward of what God has given you? This building here cost us $780,000. Which it should have cost us $3.8 million. That was the blessing of God, a 31,000 square foot building, turnkey except for rugs, and that is with radiant heat in the floors. God blessed us abundantly, so we got to take care of it, amen? So this year, we've done a lot in the house of God. We've been able to transform the children's rooms. How many of you have been in the kids' rooms with all the murals all over the wall? It's just beautiful. And so we've been able to work with the children's. The large adult classroom on this side, they put down rugs, they repainted it, and they put in brand new chairs. We also have been working on the parking lot lights. How many of you like to see? Parking lot lights have been fixed. Amen. Man of God right there working those lights. And then we've had many ceiling tiles, and they've worked on the leaks in the roof. We have leaks in our roof. They tell us to fix it. It's $250,000 to fix it properly. So we are praying that God will stop all holes. Can I hear an amen? We also want to say we were able to do new stage lights. I shared that with you last week. We just bought for the Christmas program. We had to buy $12,000 worth of lights for our church because 6 of them broke. And so it's exciting to see that your faithfulness is empowering the kingdom of God to move forward. With new wireless microphones, sound console replaced, new His Kids check-in, internet, Wi-Fi updates, security systems. We also have cameras that were updated. We have purchasing of a new liner for the baptismal tank. I think we're on our second one of those. In the Mansfield campus, we were able to locate a building. How many of you know we weren't even in Mansfield a year ago? It's only been 7 months. We found the location in Mansfield. They were able to renovate the 5,000 square foot spot to make it look absolutely beautiful. And they've already built a new altar so they could have an altar there. They have a new projection screen and stuff and speakers installed. And in Ithaca, oh my goodness, even more has happened up there. They have new stage lights, wireless microphones, new speakers installed, expanded space. they were offered, and this is really cool, the owner of that building up there, the average square foot rental in Ithaca is $20 to $25 a square foot. He has rented that to us for $6 to $7 a square foot, and then just came to us. He said, I have another, I think it was 1,200 square feet. He said, I'll rent it to you for $6 or $7 a square foot if you'd like. And so he gave up excess profit, because he's a believer and he believes in what we're doing. And already they had over 200 people at their Christmas service. Isn't that exciting? I just want you to know that the state of the state or the state of the kingdom address is something to be excited about. God is moving in this house. Lives are changing in this house. People are being transformed. God's finances are being used for his glory. It is exciting to see all that he's done in 19. But I want you to realize you haven't even begun to see what God is going to do in 2020. Can you give God, can you stand to your feet and give God praise for what he did in 2019? What's that? Oh, we have a video. Video!
Family, what God did in 2019 was absolutely mind-blowing. Join us for a short video as we recap everything that happened at his tabernacle.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
It's so
thank you for allowing
to see
us to
everything
use for your
that
glory.
God did in 2019.
God, we thank you for what you're doing
the
in this house.
Is,
and Lord, what you're going to do in 2020 is going to be absolutely mind-boggling. We thank you, God, for the people of this house and the faithfulness that, of their giving and of their giving of their time, their talents, and their resources. We ask blessing on each one of them in Jesus' name. And God, we give you the glory and can't wait to see what you're going to do next year in Jesus' name. And everybody said, isn't it wild? We are literally at the last service of the last of the finality of the decade. That is amazing to me. We are getting ready to step into a brand new decade that we have never seen before. And you and I remember the year 2000, everything was supposed to end. Amen. How about 1984, all the elderly in the room? 1984, 84 reasons that Jesus was coming and that the world was coming to an end. 1987, that Jesus was going to come again and the world was going to end. Then 2000, but here we are getting ready to embark on the new adventure of 2020. I am so fired up. I know what God is going to do. He has showed me the exciting things, and I can't wait to share them with you. But what happens if that doesn't happen? Why wouldn't it happen? You're going to find that there are certain keys. The Bible says that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. Everybody say keys. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There are certain keys that allow you to go certain places. How many of you ever tried to get into a house? In fact, the other day, I had taken all my keys out of my pocket. I went down to do some DMV stuff. I took all my keys out of my pocket and put them in the cup tray. And then later on that afternoon, I was going back to the house, and I reached in to grab my house key, and I grabbed the key, and I went to the door, and I stuck it in the door, and it didn't turn. And I said, what in the world is going on here? Thank God I went back to the truck and found I had the wrong key. Because when it's the wrong key, you can't get in the house. Can I hear an amen? But if you have the right key, which I went back to the door, stuck it in. Now listen, I got it in my pocket now. Stick it in the door, you turn the key, and what happens? You have access. You now can step into what is now available for you that is not available looking from the outside. And many of us, we have sat back and wondered why our spiritual life has diminished, or why our spiritual life has been challenged, and we're wondering why and what's going to happen. Why am I not getting my miracle? Why am I not seeing God change my life? Why am I getting bored in church? What is happening? Because there are certain keys that if you do not unlock certain doors, you can look through the window, watch somebody else, see how blessed they are, and wonder why it's not happening in your life. We've got to know these keys. So today's message is, what happens in the supernatural when you pray and fast? Everybody say, I love fasting. We're going to have an altar call after church just for you who just lied. Hallelujah. I remember the story in Exodus chapter 17 dealing with Moses and the Amalekites. God told Moses, I want you to go fight against the Amalekites. And I want you to get up on this hill and I want you to release the men of God to go down and fight. Now listen, Moses, as long as your hands are lifted, the children of God will win. But when your hands go down, the children of God will lose. So for the longest time, he had his hands up, and man, there was a great victory being won by the children of Israel fighting against the Amalekites. But then he started getting tired, and his hands went down, and the battle shifted. Now, when the battle shifted, that meant the Israelites started getting killed. And so he propped his hands up and still got tired again. And so finally, Aaron and Hur went and lifted his hands up and helped him. Now, I want to show you something. There is a direct correlation with what you do externally, or a manifestation externally, that will release the supernatural revelation. Now, here is the problem, that we looked at that fight as just a natural thing, but yet it was literally being steered through an outward manifestation that would bring a supernatural evidence. Whenever his hands lowered, the supernatural shifted. When his hands were lifted, the supernatural were being released to bring victory for the children of Israel. There is a direct correlation, and I want you to hear me now. There is a direct correlation with physical obedience to bring a spiritual release. I'll say it again. There's a direct correlation with physical obedience that will bring a spiritual release. Now, I want you to hear me. As your pastor, I've been doing this at least a week and a half. And over all the years, some of the facts that I have found were this. People that are in God twice a week at least, hearing the word of God, grow faster than those who come once a week. How is that? Because physical obedience releases spiritual blessing. I've watched people when they're not in the house of God, they slowly start digressing in their spiritual walk with the Lord, and they don't understand why. They'll always say, I still love God, and they do. They genuinely love God. I'm not saying they're not even going to heaven. But their passion for the Lord, their passion for God's kingdom seems to wane. Well, why is that? Because physical obedience has a direct impartation on spiritual blessing. Now, if we don't recognize this, then we literally will have to throw out portions of the Bible, and we will literally lose spiritual blessing in our lives. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to be cursed? How many of you just don't care? Yeah, there are some that just don't care, and that's all right. But the problem is this. If God, who wants to bless you with spiritual blessings that he's already purchased on Calvary's tree, but yet you and I don't step into them, then who loses? I don't know about you. I'm one of those kind of people that I want it all. Am I the only one? I said, I want it all. I don't want part of what God has for me. I want all that God has for me. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind has not even conceived the great things that God has in store for those who love him. How many of you love him? Amen. If you love him, God's got great things in store for you. But yet, there are certain keys that must be in the door to release a blessing. And physical obedience releases spiritual blessings. Now, the book of Matthew talks about it very clearly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says this, and when you fast, turn to someone and say, he didn't say if, he didn't say maybe, he said, when you fast, turn to someone and say, that means we got to fast. No, I didn't say walk fast. I said to fast. Fasting is not a suggestion in the kingdom of God. It amazes me in America, and this is really one of the only countries we see this more prominent than others, that in the American church, there is less fasting than at ever any other point in history. In fact, I got on the internet because I wanted to look up other pastors' opinion on fasting and having to take medications. And sadly enough, when I Googled it and went to YouTube, you know what I found? Nothing from the Christians. It was all Muslim. The Muslims have to fast. In every other country of the world, the Christians fast. But in America, we fast little. There's a diminishing of the supernatural in the church in America. There is a diminishing of the power of God in the church of America. There are less miracles than seen in many other countries in America. And it's not the American church that God doesn't love us the same as he loves us all over the world. But the issue is that there are certain keys, physical obedience, that releases spiritual blessings. And when the church does not fast, then we hold back a level of blessing that God has for us. I know this is not going to be a lot of amen-ing, but I'm going to pull it out of you. Say amen or oh my. Turn to someone and say, I can't wait to fast. Matthew 17, 21 says this, but this kind does not go out except by fasting and prayer. I want you to realize there is a spiritual context, there is a spiritual connection between fasting and releasing God's supernatural power. When a church does not fast, when a church and people do not fast, they literally hold back God's blessing in their life. And this is where some of you are. It's not that you don't love God. I said it a little bit earlier. It's not that you don't love God. It's not that you don't want God, but you want God on your terms. But the Bible says that if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. And when you love the drive of the flesh, remember, there are two main drives in all of humanity. Number one is food. Number two is sex. So God speaks directly to fasting, and he says, when you fast, that means he wants us to make a direct attack against our flesh man that is going to hold back the supernatural power of God. Fasting is for you and I to go to the next level in our walk with heaven. Fasting is a mandatory if we are going to have a supernatural spiritual breakthrough and see God do things in our lives that we've never seen before. This is not going to happen on accident. Everything that happens in the kingdom happens on purpose and happens with understanding. Our problem is we've created a disassociation. There is no question that in the New Testament, everything deals with the heart of man. The Bible says if a man looks upon a woman with lust, he's already committed adultery in his heart. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Why? Because it's all a matter of the heart. We know that with David, God said, I looked at David's heart. He has a heart after me. God is a heart God. But yet we can't forget that God has placed certain things in his kingdom that if you don't do it his way, you don't get anything. You can love God. Come on now. You can love God, believe in God, even exclaim God. But if you never confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you can't go to heaven. There is a physical manifestation that produces a supernatural revelation. When you don't confess Christ verbally, then the revelation is stunted and halted. That's why people who just raise their hands in their seats and never make a walk up front and never make a verbal confirmation of their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ seem always to struggle in their walk with God, and most of the time will walk away from God. Why? Because there is a solidity that happens when there is a physical obedience, which will release a spiritual blessing. There is a release in the Holy Ghost. There is a release in the supernatural power of God. And this is a mandatory if we're going to see God move in our lives. Amen. I'll say it myself. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, lift up your hands without wrath or malice. That means when we worship, we see it all the way through the book of Psalms, to lift up our hands when we worship. You know what I hear people say to me? Minister McKenzie will say, let's all lift our hands. People say, well, I don't need to lift my hands. God knows my heart. God does know your heart. But the fact is that God said in his word to lift your hands. Someone gave me gum earlier. Just let that pause. That's all I was doing, really. God has said, I want you to lift your hands when you worship me. I want you to lift your hands without wrath or malice. Well, you know, my arms get tired. Well, weightlift a little. Do a Moses. Prop it up. Find somebody who holds you up. But part of worship is lifting your hands to the Lord. Well, I don't need to do that. God knows me. Listen, the Bible says there is an outward manifestation. There is an outward obedience that will produce a spiritual blessing. God didn't tell us to raise our hands because he wanted to know whether we put on Dial or Old Spice. He did that because he wants us to make a declaration in the spirit realm so every devil in hell can see, I've surrendered my heart to Jesus. I give him the praise. I give him the glory. He's worthy of it all. There's an outward obedience that will produce a spiritual blessing. Bible says in Psalms 96, verse 1, sing unto the Lord a new song. I remember when we first opened this building, it was the funniest thing in the world because we would keep count because it was funny. That when worship started, almost 100 men would wait in the foyer till worship was over. Once the worship was over, they'd come into the sanctuary. It's amazing on how many people on a Sunday morning, when we do praise and worship, they come in and they talk more to their buddy than they do to the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. He didn't say if you sing good. Because you heard me sing. I mean, if it was about a good singing voice, I'd have already scared all the angels out. Sing unto the Lord a new song. You see, but we look at this and we say, well, I don't have to sing. I'm singing inside. No, no, no. The Lord said, sing a new song. The Lord said, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. The Lord said, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. That is an outward obedience to release a spiritual blessing. So what happens is we convince ourselves that we don't need this outward expression, but what it actually does is it halts a spiritual blessing. How about Psalms 95, verse 6? Kneel before the Lord your maker. Well, I don't need to bow. I'm kneeling in my heart. No, God said there are times to kneel before him. You know, I love my wife. One thing you know about my wife and I is that there is no sham. There is no fake. We don't have to fake. We're just not that kind of people. Who you see us here is who we are out there. My daughter-in-law is about as forthright as you can get. It's true. Mindy, stand up and wave at everybody. She will tell you what she actually thinks. She has gotten better, but she still tells you what she thinks. The challenge with that is, if we were fake, my daughter-in-law would not be in this church. And I love watching my wife on a Sunday morning. You'll watch her over here during worship. She'll get and she'll kneel right down on the ground and she'll just worship Jesus. Is she doing that for a show? No, listen, if you know her, no show, no need to show. This woman loves God. She doesn't just kneel in church, she kneels at home. She kneels before the Lord, her maker. Some of you have never once knelt before God. And you struggle with pride. Kneeling is that outward expression, the outward obedience of saying, God, you are God and I am not. About 2 weeks ago, I'm in my prayer room. I'm in my man cave and I'm worshiping and I'm walking around just singing a new song. And, you know, my wife stays way away because, you know, she does her own devotions. But I know it's more because she doesn't want to hear me sing. And so here I am in the other room and I'm just walking the man cave. And I do about a mile and a tenth or sometimes 2 miles walking and praying. I'm a walker prayer guy. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came in the room in such a dimension, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to lay flat out before the Father. No one's in there. No UPS man's getting out there at 5 a.m., looking in the sliding glass door, and here I am. Right out there, I'm laying flat out on a prayer day. I'm just declaring, God, you are awesome. God, I prostrate myself before you and declare that you are God. And just declare, yes, I know, body parts and positions are different. It wasn't that funny. But a physical obedience produces a spiritual blessing that you cannot have if there's not a physical obedience. And as the body of Christ, we've shunned this. We come to church, we do whatever we want. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. And we know that Jesus is coming very soon. The next prophetic utterance that needs to come to fruition is simply the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another with these words. That means the next prophetic utterance that's going to happen to fulfill the scripture is the rapture is going to happen, and it could happen today. It could happen before this service is over. Yet we are in this position where in America, listen now, in America, there is a 3-week rotation within the body of Christ, not just here, but all across America. There's a 3-week rotation where the average person now only goes to church once every 3 weeks. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. You wonder why you're not growing. You wonder why you're not maturing. Because a physical obedience releases a spiritual blessing. I feel like I'm boring you. Fasting is one of those physical acts of obedience. You know, you get ready to go to the doctor, right? And he's going to do blood tests the next day. And he says to you, you got to fast the day before. And you look at him. You know what you're thinking. I hate you. What do you mean fast? Can I have coffee? I mean, I can't. What? 24 hours? What? But yet you'll obey your doctor because you want a benefit. There is a need to address ourselves because God wants to bless us more than we could ever even fathom or imagine. God wants to pour his spirit out like you have never seen before. I want it like it was in Chronicles, where the presence of God was so powerful that they could not even stand in the glory of God. The priests had to all fall on their face. I believe in God that in this house, I've seen it in the spirit. Cole has seen it in the spirit, where all of a sudden on a Sunday morning, the anointing is going to be so strong and so thick in this house that every one of us are going to go out in the Holy Ghost and we're all going to be just out with God. And God is going to take control of the room. I can't wait for that. But it's not going to just happen. There are keys. And God has this key that he's presenting to his body. Now, it's not a new key. It's an old key. Bible says, don't look at the things which you can see, for they are temporal. But look at the things which you cannot see, for they are eternal. And there are eternal keys that if you don't turn them, you don't get their blessing. Amen. I can buy you a car, pay for it in full, fill it with high-octane gasoline, give you the key, give you the title, pay a year's worth of insurance. But until you walk over and either go beep, beep, or put the key in the door, you're not going for a drive. And it's the same in the spirit. And even more important in the spirit. So fasting is not something that should be strange to you. It shouldn't be a twice a year experience. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 10. I'm almost done. Another 2 hours, we'll be out of here. Daniel chapter 10. How many of you love Daniel? You've heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You know, we're talking about Daniel now, so he's not a strange character in the scripture. But something happened to him that was very powerful. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. And in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no food, no pleasant food, no meat or wine came to my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Daniel went on a fast. Now I want you to realize that he could have eaten from the king's table, King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had chosen him, and he had the nicest opportunities, the nicest giftings, the nicest blessings in front of him, the best food of that time. But he made a choice. He said, I will not eat of the king's table called Nebuchadnezzar, and I will fast for 3 weeks. I will give myself to the Lord. I will allow no pleasant food to come to my mouth. This is called the Daniel fast. Now, personally, I hate Daniel fasts. No, I didn't say I dislike them. I said I hate them. What is a Daniel fast? Daniel fast is you can eat all the vegetables you want, but no meat and no desirable food. No ice cream. No donuts. I believe God that in heaven there will be donuts, don't you? It is a desirable food. It is. Can I have my donut and my coffee? My favorite donut is a sour cream. See, I believe that God in his foreknowledge gave wisdom to mankind, and he created a donut called a sour cream with all these nooks and crannies in the top that they fill with abundance, with great glaze, that are absolutely amazing. Can I hear an amen for a donut for Jesus? Amen? But there is nothing better and desirable than to take your donut in some hot coffee. Oh, Jesus is good. It'll be a longer sermon than I thought. I got 3 of these in the bag. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You can all go home now. I'm okay. That was demonically motivated. That is a desirable food. Daniel made a decision that for 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Oh my goodness, what are you, crazy? 3 weeks? I can't even make it a morning.
How many of you are 20 years old? The first 20 years go slow. Amen. How many of you are 40 years old? How many are 50s? 60s? Wow. 70s? 80s? Oh, we do. My uncle said, oh, that's right. Come on now. 90s? We do have 90 years old in the house. 93. So it's important to realize that if you're that mature, let's be real. How long is 3 weeks? I mean, it goes by so fast. Boy, I think I got that donut caught. There's water. Can I wash it down with a donut? Need some milk. The milk would be really good too. Daniel, when he made this decision, he was trying to motivate heaven. Now watch, I want you to realize you can't buy God through fasting. You can't make God do anything through fasting. But what happens is there is a difference between God loving you. Turn to someone and say, Jesus loves you. God's love is unchangeable. It doesn't matter if you were living like Satan himself or now you are like the most holy person and you hover above the ground. God cannot love you any more than he ever did. But yet, there is no difference in the love of God, but there is a difference in the favor of God. God's favor is released through obedience. Now, I want you to realize, a lot of people look at different individuals in the body of Christ and they say, well, you know, God's blessing them. What about me? I don't know why they got a blessing and I didn't get a blessing. Well, you don't know the price they paid. There is always a price to pay for blessing. There is always a price to pay for advancement. To get to the next level is going to cost you something. Can I hear an amen? Come on now. Well, I'm not just talking the spiritual world. I'm talking the secular world. If you want to raise, you're going to have to show yourself more faithful. You're going to have to give yourself more. You're going to have to sacrifice to show your boss that you have the favor to go to the next level. If you want to be a boss, it might take you from 40 hours to 50 to 60 hours. Listen now, I really respect the men that work on the gas wells. Why? Because a lot of those guys are working 100 plus hours a week, but they're not doing it because, yay, it's the best fun I've ever had in my whole life. But they're doing it because they want a benefit. When they get the paycheck and it's a rolling in the dough, baby, the reason they're doing it is because of the paycheck. If the paycheck was $29.95, they're not giving 100 plus hours a week. Can I hear an amen? They want something for what they're doing. And whether we like it or not, there are physical obedience that release spiritual favor and spiritual blessing. And fasting is one of those. And that's why many of you are stymied in your walk with God, because you're refusing to fast. Daniel made a decision. He made a decision to fast for 3 weeks. He made a decision to give up desirable food to make sure that God's blessing would be manifested in his life. Daniel chapter 10, verse 10 and 11 says this. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Which means when the angel of God touched him, he literally fell down on his knees and he fell down on his hands. You see, If you want more of the power of God, you've got to learn to give up what is desirable to become something that God desires you to be. Many of us want God just enough to get out of hell. But that's not God's plan for your life. Your eye has not seen, your ear has not heard, your mind cannot even conceive the great things that God has in store for those who love them. You see, God's plan for your life is abundantly above all you can ask or even imagine. But many of us will never reach the abundant life. Many of us will never reach the above and beyond. Why? Well, because we want to live our life and just enough to get to heaven, we're good with God. But it's time to make a transition, and it's time to make a decision and an understanding that physical obedience releases supernatural favor, supernatural blessing, and that comes through the power of fasting and prayer. Amen. So Daniel falls to his hands and his knees, trembling, and the angel said, "Oh, Daniel, man greatly desired understands the words that I speak and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you." While he was speaking with this word to me, I stood trembling. So this is what happened. So Daniel gave up the desirable to become more desirable. I must decrease so God can increase. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives through me. There comes a place in your walk with God when you want more than just what you're getting from your Sunday morning little soup. This is not your all in all. Can I hear an amen? But learning how to live with God every day, learning how to walk with God every day, learning how to mature with God every day, fasting is part of this for your life. And the challenge with fasting is that it makes your flesh stink and freak out. So Daniel made this, and God said, "Listen, Daniel, because you did not eat desirable food, God desires you greatly." I want to be desired by God. I want God to be around me. I want God to look at my life and say, "Yes, they're my child, but beyond that, they want what I want. They want to be where I want them to be. They want to receive the blessings that I foreordained before the foundations of the earth. They want to walk in an anointing." Listen, there was a man named Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth moved in the power of God in such an amazing dimension. He raised, I believe it was 7 people from the dead, and 3 of them were embalmed, like embalmed. They weren't just dead. They were now filled with chemicals, embalmed. And he raised them from the dead. Everybody says, "Wow, that's amazing. I want the anointing of Smith Wigglesworth." Really? Smith Wigglesworth paid a price. What he paid a price of was this, is he didn't go 10 minutes without reading the Bible. He would read a verse every 10 minutes. He would feed his faith every 10 minutes. He would make sure, now listen now, he was a plumber by trade with a 3rd grade education. He learned how to read by his wife teaching him by reading the Bible. He did not have Bible college. He was a man that had such a passion for God and such a passion that he would fast. Listen, Lester Sumrall came to his house one day in England, and he walked into the house or was walking up the steps, and he knocked on Smith Wigglesworth's door to get in, and he had a paper. Lester Sumrall had a paper under his arm. Wigglesworth looked at him and said, "Listen, I don't allow that in my house. Throw it in the bushes." Wigglesworth wouldn't even allow the news to be brought into his house because he said, "I only read the Word of God." His power was amazing. One time they brought a baby that was like really disabled. Couldn't walk, couldn't move. They put the child on the altar area. And they said, "Brother, we need him to be prayed for." He said, "Great, in the name of Jesus." Puh! And he punted the kid. When the kid hit the ground running. You want that anointing, there's a cost. He fasted and he prayed. He sought God. Well, you know, I'm just a regular person. So is he. He wasn't pastor. He was Smith Wigglesworth. Every one of us have the amount of God that we desire today, the amount of power that we desire today, and it all comes down to physical obedience brings forth a spiritual revelation and a spiritual blessing and a spiritual favor from heaven that will open up what we have not seen before. But it cannot come unless the anointing is released through the power of prayer and fasting. I'm going to go quickly. Is that okay? Daniel. He came to the place where all of a sudden in verse 12, it says this. And then he said, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." His fasting and his prayer grabbed the attention of heaven. Some of you have been praying for things for a long time. And you've not seen it. You know it's God's will, but you've not seen any manifestation. And you're wondering why. Maybe it's because you need to fast. You need to grab God's attention. You need to say, "God, I'm willing to live a life of physical obedience to grab a spiritual revelation." No, I hear you now. "Oh, but Pastor, I take medication. I take medication and cannot fast because I have to eat with my medication." And I more than understand that. That's why you can do the kind of fast that Daniel did here. And that was called a Daniel fast, which is fruits and vegetables. I always challenge you to go talk to your doctor. You need to go talk to your doctor if you're on medication and say, "Can I fast if I do this kind of fast?" In your hands are the how to do the Daniel fast. It's in your chairs. Bring that to your local doctor. We believe in doctors. Amen. There's not a conflict between medicine and the kingdom of God. They both are striving to do the same thing, and that is to thwart sickness. Can I hear an amen? So go to your doctor, consult with your doctor, but I will tell you, your doctor will probably tell you, if you're going to do a Daniel fast, you can and take medication. Whoops. I know that's the worst, isn't it? "Well, I'm fasting TV." No! He didn't tell us to fast TV. He told us to fast food. No, I didn't say McDonald's. I said fast food. Stop eating. There are different types of fasts. Personally, myself, I like to do a water fast. It's called a full fast. I like that better than tormenting myself eating vegetables that I hate. So maybe I need to do a Daniel fast. But a fast is really not that difficult. It's getting past. Come on now. You can do anything for a day. I said you can do anything for a day. If you can do it for a day, you can do it for 2 days. Come on now. If you can do it for 2 days, you can do it for 3 days. I said amen. If you can fast for 3 days, you've gotten over the hump of hunger. See, what I love about a water fast is that I've done it so often that now it's really not that challenging, where I can literally, and I will be on Monday, going on a full fast. Now, this is what I'm just going to teach you, because I'm going to tell you that I do it myself. I'm going to be going, my goal is to do a 2-week straight water fast, no food, and then the last week I'm going to go on a Daniel fast to come off the hard fast of that. Now, I've gone really close to that, and I know folks in the house have gone beyond that. That is not that difficult once you hit a certain point. You want to consult with your doctor if there's a need or a situation in your physical body, but you're going to find that God created you fearfully and wonderfully, and fasting is not a suggestion. Fasting is a direction. Well, why? Well, because there are physical benefits to fasting. If you fast 1 day a week, in fact, I went to the doctor not too long ago, and this is what he told me. He said, you need to actually start intermittent fasting. And I said, what? He said, you need to go between 16 and 18 hours, and you need to fast that and then eat 2 times a day. He said, it's going to be much healthier for you, and you're going to be able to lose the weight you want and live a happier, healthier life. Even the doctors today are pushing an intermittent fast. But a full fast, what is powerful about a full fast, when you fast the full day and you drink the water that you're supposed to, you literally are cleansing your physical body. You're cleansing yourself. And if you fast 2 days, that's usually the beginning of regenerating stem cells. What's the purpose for a stem cell? Stem cells are created without really any major direction. But what they do is, when they see a deficiency, when they're there and created, they'll go to that section of the body to start bringing health and reconstruction. Even God created it this way. There's a phenomenal book called The Atomic Power of Prayer and Fasting. In that book there, it actually shows you through scientific fact, this is back in the 1950s even, that if you fast a 40-day fast, you literally transition every cell in your body. It's amazing today the power of fasting and how the church has repelled it because we say, well, in my heart, you know, I'm just living a fasted lifestyle. No, God said to fast. Here we go. Daniel chapter 10, verse 13. I read that one. So here we are. The Bible talked about Daniel, and what had happened was he desired and his answer was there, but something happened. The Bible says that the king of Persia, which is talking about a demonic spirit, when Daniel was praying and fasting, he was releasing his prayer request to the Lord, but yet it was stopped. In the heavens, the king of Persia, being an angel, a higher ranked angel, I'm not talking God's angel, but a demon spirit, was coming against the answer from the angel that was bringing it. They were in a conflict in the heavenlies for 21 days. Daniel prayed it, but yet the angel of God was bringing it, yet the demon was constraining him from releasing it. But because of Daniel's prayer and fasting, God sent Michael, the archangel of God, to break it up and to send that old demon running, and the angel brought the answer for Daniel to him. Some of you are looking for answers. You need to fast. You need to fast. You need to fast. Bees do not come out but by prayer and fasting. Fasting is something that once you become part of your life, it is normal to your life and enjoyable. Here's my problem with fasting, full fast. After about a week, I hate coming off it. Because I purged my body, I'm cleansed, I feel great, I've got all the energy I need, and then I eat. Yeah. Can I give you a suggestion? After a 3-day full fast, do not go to Applebee's and eat their ribs. You will not make it out of the building. There is a great explosion that happens in two different directions. We call that conflict. And no demons involved. Just ribs. It's important to know that I love, once I'm in the fast, the problem is getting in the fast because your flesh doesn't want you to give in. Some of you have never fasted. This is the greatest season you're going to have in your life. You want to see what God wants to bring you in 2020? You can't do what you did last year. You'll never go to your next level if you've always done what you've always done. You got to go to your next level by saying, okay, God, where do you want me to go? And God is saying, I want you to fast. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Whether it be a Daniel fast or whether it be a full fast, no matter what it is, I want to encourage you. This is your season and your time. I am excited this season. Brother Ted Shuttlesworth looked at me the other day, back about a week and a half ago when we were with him, and he said, the Lord is telling you that your church needs to go on a 21-day fast and that the glory of God is going to be released in that place like you have never seen it before. I know what God wants to do. I know what God's promises are for this place, but it cannot come without prayer and fasting. It cannot come without you and I saying, God, I'm surrendering my flesh, and I want you to pour yourself out on us like we've never seen before. I'm giving you full control. Because this is not about one person. I can fast, and I will fast. You know why most churches are weak? why most churches don't make a difference. Usually you have dead preachers preaching to dead congregations that are dying numerically and never make a difference. You can't be a living preacher if you don't fast. Life comes in the presence of God. And when you fast, what you do is you make yourself so sensitive to the Holy Spirit. About the 10th day, for me, when God used to say, "Hey, you!" Now he goes, "Hey." What? And gets so sensitive. Becomes so keen in the spirit. Hey! I saw some of you sleeping. I just helped you. You'll actually hear him whisper. The more keen you get in the spirit. The Bible says, don't be spiritually dull of hearing. Dull of hearing, it means your connection to this fleshly world is too much. Prayer connects you with God. Fasting disconnects you from the flesh. You want more? It's not going to be accidental. I'm going higher, baby. I know what the theme is for 2020, and it's a good one. I know what God has spoken to me. Hang on for the ride. It's a humdinger. But I'm not interested in going alone. I want you to come with. It is going to be awesome. Nope, I didn't say good. It's going to be awesome. What you have never seen before. Lost you. Well, I'm out of here now. First service, I actually had people leave. Oh, yeah, they bugged out. They heard me start talking about fasting. They got up and they left. I understand. Problem is, they might get to heaven, but they'll never accomplish God's purpose for their life. And I refuse to get to heaven and say, you got here. I want them to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. I challenge you to fast. I challenge you to take the step. I challenge you to disconnect from the world and to connect with God. No, I didn't say live like a hermit. I said fasting will disconnect you from the flesh and connect you to God. If you surrender desirable food, you'll become more desirable to God. I want that. I pray you do too. I can only preach it. I can't demand it. But I challenge you. Some of you, well, you know, Pastor, I'm just a little bored in church. Well, Pastor, you know, I've been coming for a long time and it's not as moving and not as motivating. Well, you know, Pastor, you know, maybe I just need to look around to another church and see if it moves me. Not the church. You need revival. And revival comes when it becomes less of you and more of him. Nothing to do with the church. You won't get better gospel than this house. You won't get better teaching than this house. The preaching is solid. We see signs and wonders and people saved every single week. You're bored is because you need a revival. You need to fast. Kill your flesh. Rise up with Christ. Amen. Father, I thank you so much that you have so much planned for us. God, thank you for all you did in 2019. Thank you for all the transformation of lives and families, individuals, Lord, that will go generationally. Lord, God, we thank you for the privilege of honoring us with the awesome trust that we will handle your babies properly. Lord, thank you for trusting us with your finances. The money's not ours. The money is yours. Lord, everything we have is yours. So, God, thank you for trusting us with the finances. And, Lord, we pray that we've used them properly, Lord, in the dimension to reach more souls for you. God, but 2020, you have showed us, is going to be the best, the most powerful year to date in the history of mankind. Lord, we're right on the precipice, right on the threshold of the second coming of Christ, of the trumpet of God sounding. Jesus, we have great work to do. I pray, Lord, you'll move every one of us, Lord, out of our selfish lifestyle, out of our selfish mentality, and drive us to be soul winners. Drive us to love people more than we love ourselves. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that this church will be a church of true transformation for this region. God, you prophesied it so many times that this is a pinnacle church in this region that will transform it. I declare it, God, to be so. I declare, God, the Bible College to be the greatest Bible college in the Northeast as you declared it to be. I declare, God, that in the name of Jesus, this will be a training center for men and women of God, Lord, that will come from all over the nations to learn how to move in your Holy Spirit, how to move in the power of God. I declare, according to the prophetic words of God, that the anointing will be so strong, it'll be like a deluge coming from the ceiling, that the water will gush, people will get out of wheelchairs, people will be healed of every kinds of disease and every kind of sickness. Lord, that this will be a cancer center in the name of Jesus, that people will come from all over the nation to be healed of cancer. God, we declare, as your prophetic word was, that there'll be so much money in this house that, God, we're going to have to look for places to give it away. We thank you already for the new building that's erected in Jesus' name. We thank you that this building is paid off. We thank you, God, that this house, this region, this campus, this area, God, is saturated with men and women of God who will believe you for the supernatural. Lord, we honor you. And we want what you want. And we're willing to say, Jesus, we lay our lives on the altar of God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. Our lives are not our own. It is no longer I that lives. Jesus, you have great destiny for us. Don't let us cut it short. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have a church for you to join. I don't have a religion for you to join. But I got a Master, a Savior, one who sacrificed everything just for you, one who loves you with an everlasting love and has plans for you. He said, I have fearfully and wonderfully made you. He said that the plans that I have for you are good and not bad. God has great things for your life. Don't live it for yourself. You'll never succeed. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I refuse to sell my soul to this world. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, you're not sure that if you died today, you're going to heaven. God wants to make sure for you. That is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today, if you would like to commit your heart to Jesus, you want to get your life right with God, and you want to do it this morning, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I'm going to ask you to be bold. Come on, slide your hand up right now. I want Jesus. I want to get my life right with God. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. Come on now. 5, 4, come on. Get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Thank you, sir. You can put it right back down. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm excited. I don't know about you. I can't wait for God to say, hey, you become desirable for me because you gave up desirable things. If I could have the prayer team come to the front of the altar real quick. I don't know what you need, but I know that everything you need is in the presence of the Lord. Everything you need, God will give you. Why? Because he wants to. He wants to heal your body. He wants to heal your mind. He wants to heal your situation. He wants to bring a miracle to your life. Tonight, if you raise your hand for salvation, if everybody can do one thing for me, can you turn to the person to the right and left and say, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to go forward, I'll go forward with you. Come on, turn to the person. Don't assume they know. Don't assume they're right. Today, if you'd like to give your heart to Jesus and you raised your hand already, I want you to meet me right here in the front. Be bold. Come on, grab the person next to you. Bring them right up front. Dude, congratulations, man. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. It's a new day. Thank you, honey. I'm very proud of you, baby girl. Amen. Amen. Father, I speak blessing right now in the name of Jesus. Please follow Mindy right there. Lord, I speak blessing in the name of Jesus over this house. I declare, God, we're a fasting church. I declare we're a praying church. I declare we're a church of the supernatural. I declare that we are blessed going in and blessed going out. We are blessed in our storehouse and we are blessed in our basket. We are the head and we are not the tail. I declare, God, in Jesus' name, that we are going to see the greatest things in 2020 than we've ever seen before for the glory of heaven. And Lord, we love you. Thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the privilege of going to heaven. And God, thank you for the privilege of living for you on this earth. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, don't forget the New Year's Eve service. You don't want to miss it. We love you. If you need prayer, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. They'll minister to you, encourage you, and strengthen you in Christ.